Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
On today's Part of My Take, we have recurring guest, longtime friend of the program, PFT's internet dad, my internet uncle, Karen Florio, on the show. Talk about coronavirus. No, not actually. It's Mike Florio. And we had fun with it. We had a lot of fun with it. We have a little trick up our sleeves that you will definitely want to listen to in the ongoing saga of trying to get Mike Florio to talk about his fantasy team.
B-Cat, where can you find Mike Florio these days?
The Cock.
You can find him on The Cock.
On The Cock. He's riding The Cock every morning, 7 to 9 a.m. He and Chris Sims hopping on The Cock.
Mm-hmm.
They really should have, someone at some meeting should have been like, hey, I think people will start calling it The Cock.
Yeah, Pisscock instead of Peacock.
But awesome interview with him. Really, really fun. Good to catch up with him. Talk about the entire NFL, little preview.
By the way, I don't think anyone calls it The Cock except for us.
No, I'm saying
just been a.
No, that's literally what I'm saying. They should have. There should have been a whiteboard, not to be a narcissist, but there should have been a whiteboard, and in the very top left-hand corner been like, what will Part of My Take call it?
Because
they will then get a bunch of other people to call it this.
Yep.
And then it will be The Cock. All right. So we have that. We have a weekend preview. We have Fantasy Fuckboys. We have Firefest. A great show to get you ready for week 6 of the NFL season. And we're brought to you by our friends at...
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Friday, October 16th, and Nick Saban's got the cocoa.
He's got the cocoa.
He's got the cocoa. He probably got it from one of his cream pies that he eats every morning.
Oh, okay.
That while was watching that the weather.
That took a right turn from where my brain was.
Am I freaking out a little bit to be like, Nick Saban can't get the cocoa. Nick Saban is an impenetrable force of all diseases and fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might just be him wanting to spend more time recruiting. This gives him valuable time around his phone. He should just have Miss Terry coach on the sidelines for him. Either that or maybe put the scissor lift like the high school coaches did.
Mm-hmm.
Have him down there. Brian Kelly would do a scissor lift.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't want to fall behind
up
to Notre
don't
Dame.
Don't bring that up. So, that was kind of the big story. Nick Saban's got the cocoa.
I guarantee that there are at least 6 Alabama fans that have signed up for a waiting list to donate their lungs to Nick Saban, if it comes to that.
Easily. Also, we get Steve Sarkisian now coaching on Saturday night, which should be hilarious. If Alabama loses, does it count? Is this a Coach K thing? Does Nick Saban not get this on his record? When we do the playoff committee, can we say, well, that one loss, not Nick Saban, doesn't count?
I unironically think yes.
I think Nick Saban will get in front of the press and say exactly that.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, guess what? That wasn't my team. That was Steve Sarkisian's team. And did you see him at Washington, USC? Exactly.
Is there a possibility of a Hugh Freeze game?
Like,
put a hospital, install a hospital room in the stadium?
I would imagine, I know Nick Saban technically, I think, can't have any contact with the team, but I would imagine he's going to be coaching somehow.
Some way, somehow.
Somehow, some way, he's going to be coaching on Saturday night. He's probably got the greatest, like, in the ultimate twist, he's got the greatest technology ever in his a Batman cave in his house.
I mean,
he sits there with all the TVs and he's ready to go.
So it says that you can't have any technological contact with the team, but could he start like a big ass bonfire outside the stadium and send smoke signals up into the air?
Or maybe a tornado siren.
Yeah.
That just goes off. Morse code tornado siren.
Why not? Give it a shot. I do kind of think that like Nick Saban is definitely like he's worth 7 points in this game.
Yes.
So if they lose by fewer than 7 points, then I would say this does not count as a loss.
Yeah, I'd agree. So we have NFL Week 6. We have no Thursday night football. Kind of weird. Mm. But I agree with what you said on, I think, Wednesday show, PFT. This the way the schedule is working out, the surprise football, like Monday night, we have another double Monday night. I'm kind of digging that we just have football in random places. It's like looking under the cushions of your couch and finding a football game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like going into some sweatpants that you haven't worn since last fall.
Yeah.
I found $12 in a pair of sweatpants.
Here's Bills
worn.
Chiefs.
Exactly.
Weird.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I like the double Monday night games. We do have Arch Manning playing tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, Archie's grandson, which further
fuels... Is he on TV?
On ESPN2.
Fuck yes.
It fuels our take that Archie Manning is the shadow commissioner. Canceled Thursday night football.
Mm-hmm.
His grandson now gets the spotlight all to himself in prime time.
Yep.
Also in Manning news, Peyton Manning had a little picture come out. He's on the beach. He had a six pack. Did you see that?
No.
Peyton Manning
steroids?
Has a six pack. Well, it's funny you say that because our very own Billy Football spotted that he's got the cone nipples.
Oh.
Which means possible HGH. It was his very own Omaha beach down there.
Huge week for nipples between Peyton Manning and Cardi B.
Yes. Well,
no, are nipples having a moment?
They are. I mean, on aggregate, they make one perfectly sized nipple.
Just the nipple week. That's
by the way,
what we remember.
Let's not shame Cardi B for her nipples.
No, who is?
When I look at those nipples, I see.
Well, I didn't look because I'm respectful.
I was forced to look. Somebody showed me a screen grab of it. I could not look away.
And then I looked again.
I see beauty. I see life coming from those nipples. She's got a kid. She breastfeeds.
Cardi B, by the way, like, we already knew that she was the coolest, but the way she handled it, being like, players fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, whoops, didn't mean to do that.
I mean, that was my Fyre Fest. If we can jump to it early, I'm just going to say, you know, Cardi B being back with Offset, that's tough for me.
Yeah.
You need another one.
She's got to get.
I do. I'm pressed on Cardi. I need to
move
on.
You are pressed. You're pressed on Cardi B.
Billy, can you give us your update on Peyton Manning's nipples?
Billy, you're just eating some Swedish fish during the show?
You mean his abs?
Did you just walk out? Oh, you got Hank's food. Got it.
You said.
Yeah, his abs.
You said that there was something about his nipples.
No.
Yeah, you said something about HGH.
Chew those Swedish fish in the mic.
I think his wife definitely.
Yeah, this is great.
His fertility medicine.
Oh, okay. So he's ovulating?
Well, he's multiple nipples like a pig.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're our HGH specialist. What else do we have here?
I don't know. He looks pretty low body fat.
Yeah?
For a guy that old.
You think he's probably not eating a lot of carbs?
He's definitely juicing.
Definitely juicing.
I feel like a lot of retired guys just like start juicing because they could never do it during their.
I would.
Brett Favre.
For fun.
Yes.
His arms got like he got jacked after he retired.
Brett Favre looks very old though recently.
Like TRT.
Brett Favre fell off a cliff in terms of his age because there was that moment where he had a couple pictures out there, not the other picture, but a couple pictures out there where he was looking like a beast.
Yeah, he was not looking like a beast in that one picture.
No,
that I thought.
No,
you were
that was
about.
A tiny, well, a tiny beast.
It's also
packs a punch.
It's also funny that Billy assumes that professional athletes treat HGH like most people treat smoking dope. Like they get to retire from their jobs. Now I can finally smoke weed and not be drug tested. It's like Peyton Manning quits, and he's like, now I can finally take HGH and reap all the benefits now that I'm no longer an athlete. I like that take.
Yes. All right, so what else we got? Oh, the Falcons have the Coco as well. No, they don't.
Schefter.
Really?
Fucked it up.
What happened? I have not been on the internet today. Someone explain.
I'm going to say this. I'm not 100% confident.
That's okay. Let's just, no.
Schefter.
Take, hold on, time out. Redo this. Go 100%
confident. I will
confident.
Go 100% confident and then I'll look and check. Schefter reported 3 Falcons players had Coco. Turns out it was one. It was actually only one non-player that had it.
Oh.
Jake shaking his head. Yes. Yes. So Schefter is on the hot seat. And he fucking lied about Gilmore and Cam Newton.
What do you mean?
He said that they had gone out to dinner on like on the EEI radio show before it came out that they had Corona. Like, he was just on a show and he was talking about how Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore are like getting along together. They had dinner. After it came out that both of them had Corona, people were like, wait, this must be from the dinner Schefter was talking about. Gilmore's girlfriend or wife, I forget, came out and was like, they never had dinner. Like, that's not a thing that happened. And so it might have been a throwaway story by Schefter, but now that they both had Corona, he was like forced to be like, where'd you get your sources? He's like, well, I don't know. It might have been dinner. They didn't go out to dinner. It might have been dinner in one of their houses. Like, I'm not sure. But they had dinner.
Ah.
Even though all the sources are like, no, they didn't.
And he made a joke about the election. That's probably the worst thing that he did all
Oh, God.
Week.
And that...
canceled.
Yep. Big time canceled. I do like that we're now getting to the point where we're passing the canceled and being like, no, they were canceling the canceler.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally getting to the final... The death rattles of cancel.
It's a smelt it, dealt it situation. Now.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Like, oh, you see something problematic here? You're problematic. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Nice work, everyone.
Yeah. So they don't have. So that game is on, no matter what. Yes. Good. Falcons, good to go. I actually.
It looks like now no plans.
There
change.
We go, Jake.
And it looks like we were both wrong on Wednesday's show.
No way.
Yeah. Can you believe it? When we took predictions on who the first person to say. That Andy Dalton is just as good as Dak Prescott. I think we said Dan Orlovsky and maybe there was somebody else.
Well, someone pointed out that it was crazy we didn't mention our friend Andrew Perloff McLovin from the Dan Patrick Show, but he was completely ineligible because I'm assuming he said that the day that Andy Dalton signed with the Cowboys.
I think Perloff was probably writing that take 5 years ago. Just like out of nowhere, just being like, yeah, that guy Dak who you think is good, actually Andy Dalton's better.
Like, you know when you're in like middle school and you write the name of your crush, Perloff has been doing that all offseason, being like, if Andy Dalton was on the Chiefs, 60 touchdowns, 6,000 yards, so each team would actually get better with Andy Dalton.
He's practicing signing his name. He's like, Andy Perloff. That looks really good. But yeah, it was Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd said today
Easy.
That
God.
I think he's kind of wading into it, saying that you don't lose much at all.
That's
Andy
so
Dalton.
Skip did the same thing. He did a why the Cowboys aren't in as much trouble as people think.
Mm-hmm.
So they're dancing around it. I'm going to give them both half credit. I want to see someone go full blown. Andy Dalton should be signed to a long term deal instead of Dak.
Let's just take it one step further and say that Andy Dalton is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott because.
His leg's not broken.
Wait,
oh.
That good point, Big Cat.
Yeah.
And also, he's better because he's worse. So the team has to play more cohesively.
Yeah.
They have to scheme for Andy Dalton. They can't just coast on Dak's talent anymore. You actually have Mike McCarthy has to sit down and use his Pro Football Focus subscription to figure out how to make Andy Dalton efficient, which he didn't have to do with Dak.
So Trent Dilfer actually kind of did make that point with Russillo on Monday or Tuesday. He said that the Cowboys are going to have to run the ball a little bit more and be more balanced.
Yeah.
And balanced football is the key.
Now we're cooking.
Yeah. So we're getting there. We're roundabout getting there by, I'd say, week 11. There will be people saying that Andy Dalton deserves a 5-year, $250 million contract.
I disagree. Week 11, I think probably this week.
This week.
Because
you
could get a good game out of Andy Dalton, and then the takes start. Am I expecting Andy Dalton to light the league on fire for 7 or 8 consecutive weeks? Not expecting it, but it could happen.
But with the system, he could do it. Okay, let's do a weekend preview. Before we do that,
man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, weekend preview. Every single game, I would grade this slate. I'm going to give it a B+.
It's better than last week.
It's better than last week. We have a few, I would say three games that I'm really, really looking forward to. And then Monday night has 2 good games that are at least compelling. So let's start Texans at Titans. The Texans, Romeo Crennel, is he going to be the interim wizard? He's 3-1 all time as interim head coach. The Titans coming off the extra short week, which I love, which no team has ever played.
Two games in five days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
4 days rest, except every single Thursday night game that's ever been played.
Yeah, I like
I love, you know that's going to be a thing, like super short rest, which I guess, yes, obviously the Texans didn't have to do it, so it's not totally the same. But every time we do this with the schedule being weird, when we had that moment where it was like the Chiefs might have to play 3 games in 11 days. As opposed to 3 games in 12 days.
But it's also, you know, take into account the fact that they got a lot of time off before those games even started. So I like Tennessee. I'm not a believer yet in Romeo, the, what did you call him, the interim wizard?
Interim wizard.
I don't, interim wizard's a good title, though.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since you said that, I was thinking maybe he is
an
interim
wizard.
I'm leaning towards the Titans on this one.
Yeah. But you know what? This line makes no sense. Tennessee's 4-0, and the Texans are 1-4 on their second coach, and the line is 3.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
It's because Vegas believes in me that they're the best, worst team.
Yeah. Wait. I thought the Vikings were.
They're tied. Remember, they're tied with the Texans because they beat the Texans, but then they got rid of Bill O'Brien.
That's right. Next up, Bengals, Colts. I'm getting nervous for Joe Burrow because the talent around him sucks. Now, he can definitely – he'll be fine, but – I'm also nervous for his, like, body.
For his health this year.
Yeah, for his health.
I agree with that. I'm also nervous that people are talking about Philip Rivers maybe getting benched.
Washed?
I've heard that.
Washed?
I disagree,
Who's behind him, Jacoby?
Jacoby Brissett, yeah. So, I mean, Jacoby's proven that he can come in and play, like, 2 good games and then get another contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Might be time.
Might be time. I hope that it's not. I hope that this is actually the perfect get well game for Philip Rivers.
Absolutely.
So if he comes
at home,
yes. If he comes
dome
out,
open, no, we don't
know.
Close,
we don't know yet,
but probably closed.
Actually, Jim Irsay said last week he might get fucking nuts with it. He said, "You want to get nuts? We'll get nuts. I might open the roof halfway."
What if he just
like a moon roof?
What if he just kept his finger on the open all game and then close, so it was just going back and forth, oscillating like an oscillating fan,
like a kid that you let sit shotgun for the first time in your car, and he's click, just click, going back and forth, click, back and forth.
Yeah,
he might do that.
I would imagine then the like whoever, maybe Jim Irsay owns the dome, but maybe the city of Indianapolis, they have to put a childproof lock on the dome, on the dome button, so Jim Irsay can't fuck with it anymore.
Yeah, I think Jim Irsay, what he should do is open it for the first half. If they're winning, leave it open. If they're losing, close the dome.
Yeah.
It's the real 12th man.
I do think the Colts are going to win this game and get right. Falcons, Vikings. Whew. I do think there is a, and we've talked about it with Dion, which is a good point that only really a player can like totally vocalize. The feeling of your coach gets fired, you get a bounce back because everyone in the locker room is like, well, I'm kind of fucked. Because whoever comes in next probably won't want me around, so I got to start playing for my job.
Yeah, you're not the next guy's guy.
Right.
And it's all about being your guy's guy.
Right.
And they don't even know who the next guy is going to be. They don't know who the next guy who hires the next guy who's going to determine who his guys are is going to be yet.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a guy problem.
Yeah, you got a guy problem. And I think there's definitely something to that. But I also think that there's something to losing in primetime if you're Kirk Cousins. Everybody thinking that you stink and then coming back and playing a 1 p.m. game against a shitty team at home on Fox, that he's probably going to light it up.
And I'm with the Vikings, I'm at a crossroads of what I think about them, because they do have, remember the Vikings had like 15 draft picks or whatever it was. They started a bunch of rookies and they looked terrible the first few weeks. But now are their rookies good and they're getting experience and they're going to end up being a good team? Or are we just seeing like they you know, 'cause the NFL's so weird. You can have a team throw everything at a game, a primetime game, and be like, wow, they're not as bad as we think, but maybe they really are. They just were really trying hard for a primetime game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a crossroads. I think the Falcons are going to win.
You're addicted to them. You can't quit them.
No, well, you know what? I did quit them. I did quit Dan Quinn's Falcons. These are Raheem Morris's Falcons.
That's true. I think when it comes down to it, I'm with you, because I think 70% of America is betting on the Vikings.
Right. This is a no-brainer, like, oh, Vikings, the Falcons haven't won. They got the Coco, according to Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Vikings. Uh-uh.
Was that actually like a sneaky good leak by Raheem Morris being like, hey, we're going to let some news get out there that we've all got the cocoa? Like how John Gruden said that he had coronavirus to all his players to get them like galvanized around the team. Did Raheem Morris just basically say, hey, everyone's got coronavirus, and then the team like text each other being like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Oh, it was a false alarm. They still had that moment of togetherness where they were all worried together.
Right. Like, so Matt Ryan texted Todd Gurley and was like, oh, I actually haven't texted him in 3 months.
Yeah, it gives you an excuse, right?
Yeah. Wow, like, we need to catch up.
When you hear about a friend who gets fired somewhere.
Yeah,
hey,
like,
you okay?
You all right? All right?
Yeah.
I laughed at the thought of if the Falcons did have coronavirus, Dan Quinn, wherever he tries to go next, putting it on his resume, like 4 weeks, no coronavirus. Mm. Minute I left, coronavirus.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yes.
That's me.
You got to take that.
I was able to manage it. All right. Broncos, Patriots. I forgot the Broncos were in the league because we haven't seen them in what feels like forever. This is the weird quirk schedule. The Broncos played against the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Many people are calling it the Brett Rippon game, and they haven't played since.
Is it still Brett Rippon?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Drew
Locke was 4 to 6 weeks, I think.
Okay. So,
but it has been like 3 weeks?
We're going to assume.
Time doesn't exist.
We're going to assume it's some combination of Brett Rippon, and then who's the other guy? There's someone else that we know out there. What's his name?
Drew Locke was a full participant in yesterday's practice.
We're talking about Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But Blake Bortles is ready to go.
Of course.
Blake Bortles is ready to go.
Blake Bortles is ready to go.
There we
ready
go, Jake. Go. Thank you. Hank, thoughts?
Pat's going to kill him. They've had all this time to prepare. They prepare for this
kill
team
him?
For 2 weeks.
Kill
it's basically
him?
Like a playoff game. Yeah.
Is there an over prepare, though?
No.
Like Ernie Adams has started to sit for the first time ever. Ernie Adams is second guessing his research because he's had so much time.
No, I mean, they're used to having bye weeks in the playoffs. They do it all the time. So having 2 weeks to prepare for opponent is can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I think
that's actually a good point.
Yeah, they're going to kill him. Your Washington football team at the Giants.
This is going to be a great game. I think everyone's – this is the battle for potentially first place in the NFC East. So both teams had this game – they had it circled on their calendars a long time ago. Kyle Allen?
Is Kyle Allen starting?
Yeah, Kyle Allen.
I love the Washington football team in this game. Kyler Allen
is back.
Yes.
He knows the system that Ron Rivera likes to run where you don't use your timeouts. So, at some point, Daniel Jones is there's going to be a leash on him. There's going to be a leash on Daniel Jones this year.
Joe Judge is going to – it's going to be the Joe Judge, I got to save my job leash.
Yes, it'll be a combination of that and also Joe Judge just hoping for a spark.
Yes.
And the easiest way to get a spark is just like putting in a backup quarterback, hoping that you can get magic for like a half. And honestly, if you're a head coach and you have a shitty backup come in and the shitty backup loses but doesn't play as poorly as you think that he was going to play, that becomes like a feather in your cap as a head coach. Like, look, what he can get the most out of this guy's talent.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. I do think that the Washington football team is going to win this game.
I agree.
I really do.
You know who the backup is?
Who?
Colt McCoy revenge game.
Oh.
Colt McCoy is the backup for the Giants. I would go with Colt McCoy in this game.
I would probably go with Colt McCoy,
too. Colt McCoy is a great one-term interim quarterback.
Yes, I would probably go with Colt McCoy as well. I like that. So, Colt McCoy, if you are listening to this, try to get in the game, and we'll watch you and be like, oh, good job, Colt McCoy. All right. One of the games I'm very excited about, the Ravens and the Eagles. I do think the Eagles are getting a little bit better. I don't think that they're good enough to beat the Ravens. But they are getting a little bit better. And in the NFC East, you just have to win every, like, month.
Mm-hmm.
If you win one game a month, you're still alive.
That's it, yeah.
So it's really, they already, did they get their win? They got their tie in September. They got their win in October. So they're good for October.
Yeah, I
they don't need another win.
I kind of like the Eagles. I kind of like
7.5. I do, but I think the Ravens are going to win the game.
I kind of like the Eagles in this one. I feel, and this is again going back to the fact that we still think that the Eagles are what the Eagles were 2 years ago.
Right.
But I don't know. They look frisky. They've looked good the last couple of weeks. They've looked alive.
Yes.
More alive than they have in the past. I don't know. If the Eagles get a lead in the first half, then they win. If they don't, then they lose.
Yeah. So, or they tie.
They tie.
Browns Steelers. So. The last time the Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh was 2003. 16 years. So it's been 17 years. 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's remarkable.
That's really good.
And there comes a point in time where you want little brother to rise up and win, but I just don't. I don't think it's going to happen this
week. Good news is I don't think Stefanski's getting fired after this game.
Yep,
which
that's true.
As is tradition for Browns head coaches. But it seems impossible to do.
Like even the Patriots during their dynasty run, like, you know, the Dolphins would go in there, the Bills, or someone would shock them. 16 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of years.
There are kids in Cleveland that aren't old enough to get a DUI arrest yet.
Right.
That have never seen the Steelers lose at home to the Browns.
Well, they're not. No, they're old enough to get a DUI. They're not old enough to buy the beer themselves that gets them the DUI.
There are kids in Cleveland who are old enough to get arrested for their second DUI.
Yes.
That have never seen the Browns win on the road in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Yeah,
drinking out of their dad's, you know, kegerator.
We are going to see a shitload of Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph highlights this game.
Oh yeah,
assault. This is
assault.
This is the assault revenge game.
It is
a lot of revenge games this weekend.
Myles Garrett's been incredible, by the way. Bears Panthers. We don't respect Teddy Bridgewater enough, but I'm going to not respect him this week. I think the Bears offense is going to get going a little bit here because Nick Foles, if you've read any of the comments, Nick Foles is doing a public plea to have more control over the offense, to basically say, let me cook. Let Nick cook. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
No, it's a bad thing.
No, but it's Matt Nagy, so it might be a good thing. Like, if Nick is like, hey, let me cook instead of Matt Nagy, I'll eat whatever Nick Foles cooks over Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy's play card doesn't say be Nick. It says be you.
Maybe, and remember not to run.
Maybe it says be you as in like, because he's reading be you to somebody else. Like,
right.
It's you means it's somebody else.
Yeah, right.
If it said be me, then that means it should be Matt Nagy. Maybe that's the entire thing. His play card should say be me.
Right.
Instead, he's been like, I'm going to be Mitch.
And maybe he forgets who he is during the game.
That's a good point. I like the Bears too. Is this the matchup of the two quarterbacks with the largest penises in the history of the NFL?
I would say so. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd absolutely say so.
Where were you?
Yeah. Where were you when this happened?
Incredible.
Probably on your couch.
Yep.
Not even thinking about their penises. This is also a mini like contender pretender game. Not contender Super Bowl contender, but like playoff. Like whoever wins this game, I would say will be in the playoffs.
Wait, Big Cat, not a Super Bowl contender. If the Bears win this game, they go to 5-1.
Five and one.
Do you know what the percentages on teams that are 5-1 are to make the playoffs? And this is in seven team playoffs. It's got to be like 92%.
Not apologizing.
Super Bowl.
The Bears definitely are one of the teams in the 1% when they did that like 8 years ago. I think they started 7 or 8-1 and returned 3 interceptions for a touchdown pretty much every game, and then they fell off the cliff.
Yeah, you can count on the Bears to be, you know, one half of those really sad stats, but not the sad stats like the Browns sad stats where it's like you haven't won in Pittsburgh since 2003,
yeah.
But like a sad stat like you thought it was going to be good, but actually
it's not.
The most heartbreaking
right,
teams.
Right, it's not. Lions-Jaguars. Let's actually do Lions-Jaguars-Jets-Dolphins in conjunction, because if you put those two teams together, or the two games together, I still don't think it would be compelling.
I think the Jags get off the schneid this week.
Against the Jets-Dolphins?
Against the Jets-Dolphins. I like the
Jags have a win.
The combination of Gardner Minshew and Kerryon Johnson, I think, is going to be enough to overcome Greg Williams.
Oh, see, I think it's more Matthew Stafford throwing it to
DJ Chark.
The Jets don't have any wide receivers.
Jameson Crowder
is what I was looking for. It's always so sad that one team that no one has anyone on their fantasy team from.
Okay,
it's like, yikes. You wouldn't touch. There's always one team every single NFL season where it's like, maybe when you have five of your players on a bye, you'll pick up their number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no thank you.
Let's go back and forth and try to name as many players from these four teams, teams as possible. Ready?
Yeah.
Mike Gesicki.
Frank Gore.
Joe Flacco.
Sam Darnold.
Okay, quarterbacks shouldn't count from here on out.
Okay.
Chandler Cox.
Braxton Berrios.
Kerryon Johnson.
Kerryon Johnson, that's good. Let's see. What's his name? Miles Jack. He's still good. He's still really good, actually.
The guy, the running back, Robinson.
Mike Florio's Robinson.
Robinson, yeah.
Mike Florio's Kenny Golladay.
Shit. Okay.
Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay.
Jamal Adams isn't there anymore.
I'll do a Kenny Golladay adjacent Marvin Jones as well. Know that. You know that. The Lions have a couple guys.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate.
He's not still. He's
on
the Giants.
Yeah, that's okay. I will end there.
Yeah.
But that's good. Oh, and TJ Hockenson. The Lions have a couple guys.
They've got some guys. But honestly, when you think about it, the fact that we took those four teams, and off the top of our heads, that's as deep as we got.
Yeah.
That's just
it's just pretty much the Lions.
Very depressing.
Did you see Adam Gase? So Adam Gase said that he is down for anyone else to call the plays. He's open, you know, like if it's better for me to not do anything, I won't do anything. So there was a report. Gase said he talked to his staff about the play calling question.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who work under him, and they agreed that Adam Gase is the best guy for the job.
Yeah.
So they essentially were like, wait, you want us to steer the Titanic? No, thank you.
Well, it's a combination of Adam Gase thinking he's outsmarting his assistants by being like, I'm going to be Kim Jong Gase, and hey, guys, I shot 19 strokes on this par 73 golf course, right? And them being like, no, he's trying to get us to take responsibility. Not gonna happen.
It really is though. The captain of the Titanic being like, "Hey, can you grab the wheel real quick? I just gotta go take a piss."
Yeah, don't try not to make anything weird happen while I'm gone. But it's also like,
I see that big white thing in front of us. Just you hop in for a minute.
But like Adam Gase asking his subordinates, be like, "Hey, do you guys think I'm doing a good job?" Yeah. Breaking news: Dave Portnoy has 100% approval rating from Tommy Smokes.
That's pretty much what it is.
And then Loggins, your boy. Dow Loggins. He said, it's not a coaching problem. It's an execution problem.
Ah.
Throwing his players under the bus.
Well, I'll say something nice about the Jets. They could always go back to hyperdrive.
But that's Joe Flacco. You already used your hyperdrive.
Hyperdrive. We need some hyperdrive. All right. This is another game we're excited for. Packers, Bucks, the Battle of the Bays. The old, is it Mike Sherman and Warren Sapp? I think so. To put a jersey
put
on, Cliff.
Put a jersey on
after Warren Sapp fucked up Chad Clifton. I want to say it was,
that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, put a jersey on. It's an all-time clip way back in the day. Mike Sherman and Warren Sapp yelling at each other in the middle of the field after the game. I don't know, 2000. And Warren Sapp just kept on yelling to Mike Sherman, "Put a jersey on. Put a jersey on."
Mm-hmm.
Which is an all-time, like, you fucking suck, you nerd.
Yeah. I'm excited for this
Battle
game.
Of the base. I'm very excited for this game.
I think Tom Brady bounce back game.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay. Not that he played that poorly, but here's
he
my
just
prediction.
He forgot what down it was.
Yeah, well, he forgot what quarter it was. I'm going to say Tom Brady throws three touchdowns but one pick six.
Ooh. He's good for one of those. I also am, in a real football sense, I'm very interested to see what happens to the Bucs defense without Vita Vey, because he's their best, probably their best player, or most. I love when we do this as analysts. He's not their best player. He's their most important player.
Mm-hmm. But don't they have Ndamukong Suh?
Yes, but Vita Vey, he clogs the middle. He takes everything.
He doesn't rack up the stats.
He lets the linebackers free.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're not going to be free anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like the phrase most important player.
Yeah, it's like for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers is the Packers' best player. Jordan Love is their most important player.
Or like,
it's made Aaron Rodgers good again.
For the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green isn't their best player, but he's their most important.
He makes it go.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's essentially trying to subtly tell everyone that you think of the game on a higher level than
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah. Like, you think that this
Which
guy,
we do.
Who is incredible, is their best player, but you would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy who's most important is the 400-pound nose tackle that keeps everything going.
Speaking of that, did you see that Pro Football Focus awarded their best big-time throw of the week to Patrick Mahomes on that 70-yard bomb that didn't count because of the holding penalty?
It was a big week for the big plays that ended up not really mattering, because the Derrick Henry stiff arm, which rocked the internet, I went back and I looked. Derrick Henry had 57 yards, 3 yards per carry.
Great game.
What? Everyone was like, Derrick Henry, how can you stop him? Like, well, the Bills kind
of
did.
Great game. Billy had a take that I agree with at the start of that game when they started feeding Derrick Henry the ball. He said, Derrick Henry, actually sneaky, not a great short yardage running back.
Oh, Billy.
Legs are too long.
Yeah.
And I think he's great when he's going at people like Josh Norman, or really just like linebackers or safeties once he gets to that
later
second
level.
Later
in the season, later in the game.
But
early in the game, when everyone's got fresh legs, maybe not the fastest to the hole.
But big guys just, they can swallow them up.
Yeah. Good point,
good
Billy.
Take, a lot of leg to grab for D linemen.
Billy, can you do a Baldy breakdown on Derrick Henry?
Of course.
Do you think?
Of course. Like you've ever said, of you're asking me to do a job. Of course, I'm going to get it done.
Billy, 10 times we let Derrick Henry hit the hole. You're the only guy on the other side of that hole. How many times you bring him down?
How many times can I dive at his legs?
Every single time.
I take him down every time.
Oh, there we go, Billy. Josh Norman's got nothing on Billy football. All right, last game of the week, and then we'll do some picks and fantasy fuckboys. Rams-Niners, this is my stinky, stinky game of the week because the line makes no sense. I do a thing. On Sunday night, after we leave the office at 2 in the morning, I like to look up all the lines for the next week and do gut reaction because that's usually my dumbest moment. And I saw it, Rams -3, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the easiest bet of all time, Rams -3. I think the 49ers are going to win.
It's a rat line.
I mean, the 49ers couldn't have looked worse. The Rams are looking pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers barely have a quarterback at this point. They're like, it's all falling apart. So many injuries. That's when you got to take the 49ers.
These two coaches, too, have a lot of experience against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. They grew
boy
up
wonders.
In the same systems. Both boy wonders, both football geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
They might be thinking a bit too hard when they're putting this game plan together.
They're trying to outsmart each other.
Yes. Well, really, if you want to beat the other guy, at first you have to be able to beat yourself.
Yes.
And I think Kyle Shanahan has a lot more experience in beating himself than McVay does.
That's very true.
So I'm going to take the 49ers.
Okay. All right, quick picks. Do you want to do yours, Hank? Just rattle them off over under favorite underdog.
Favorite Chiefs, underdog Bengals.
All right, so we're doing Monday night again.
Yep.
Over Packers Bucks, under Titans Texans. All right. I honestly don't look. I just look at the. I just look at the board. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You do what you got to do.
My favorite is going to be
your favorite. Your favorite, Billy Football.
I'm gonna go with the Dolphins.
Okay,
Dolphins.
Oh, speaking of which,
and bonus favorite, Kansas City Chiefs.
We do have the Dolphins. To make the playoffs +600 in the Barstool Sportsbook app right now. The
Let's go.
Magic bet under the exclusives.
Let's cook. So, yeah, I got the Dolphins -9.5. And then my over is going to be – I'm going to go with a football team against the Giants, 43.
Ooh.
I like that.
Okay. And then, wait, you have an underdog?
My underdog is the Bears, 1.5 at the Panthers.
Same.
And then my under is the Dolphins Jets, 47.
Okay, I got Bears – Steelers my favorite over in the Battle of the Bay just because it's a fun afternoon game you got to root for, and then my under will also be in the Bears Carolina under 44. I have a can't lose parlay. I'm doing something special this week. It's +325 in the Barstool Sportsbook app. Who's ready for it? It didn't win last week. Whatever. Colts.
Yep.
Ravens, who you might not like.
These are all money line.
Yep. Steelers. Uh-oh. And then I adjusted the total in the Packers-Bucks game to 48.5. So you get basically a whole touchdown, and that's +325.
I don't
so
like
So essentially
it.
You just got to win the first three games, then you get to sit back and watch the afternoon game with the over adjusted.
You should be able to bet
yes!
against the money line parlay,
you like
too.
It. You like it, Hank.
Yeah.
You can bet against it. Also, you can responsible gamble with if you have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mm-hmm.
Do that right now if you have a problem. But it should be fun. It should be entertainment. The can't lose parlay can, in fact, lose. But let's be honest, it can't.
It mustn't lose.
It will not.
It
shall not.
I'd like to take this opportunity to announce that my over 3.5 field goal bet in primetime is back on
nice.
Right now. I took it off for a while. I got burned a few times. Kicking sucked at the start of the year. I didn't feel it. Now I'm starting to feel it. The weather's getting a little bit colder. I do think that has something to do with the ball going farther at night. So I do like over 3.5 field goals in the Sunday night game.
Love it.
And something I've been keeping to myself, I've been making some money on the last few weeks, and I feel selfish keeping it to myself, so I'll share it with you. I also like to bet rushing touchdowns or just touchdowns for quarterbacks in primetime games.
Yep.
So Carson Wentz got me some money. Drew Brees got me a big payout
yep.
with his quarterback sneak. And then Ryan Tannehill got me some big money,
and
too.
And almost blew his knee out.
And almost blew his knee out celebrating. So betting on quarterbacks to score either rushing or receiving touchdowns has been a godsend for me.
Yes.
So just keep that in the back of your head.
Yeah, do that. And then also Barstool Sportsbook app. We're going to be in other states soon, hopefully. But if you're in Pennsylvania, I threw in a couple new bets. So Mississippi State, I don't know if you heard, they scored 2 points. 2 points.
Wow, I scored more points than that against Brandon Walker in the dozen last night.
Yep. Ooh, damn. Fighting words. So there's actually a bet now. It's a max $100 bet. So it's $100 to win $10, but it's Mississippi State over under 2 points on Saturday.
I got to be honest with you. I might take the under.
So if you wanted to bet $100, you win $10 just for fun. But yeah, I mean, you can win that bet. If they hit a field goal first quarter,
can I win that bet if they get shut out and I bet the under?
Yeah, we can make that. We can make that
because I would love to see what the payout would be on that. If I bet 10, then I win. Yeah.
And I don't want to take too much credit, but I'm going to take credit. I think I have solved soccer in America. We are introducing the Goalapalooza, so it's just the Hansen for the EPL.
I like
over
that.
12 and a half goals on Saturday in the EPL. You don't have to bet a team; you can just bet how many goals they're going
to
be.
I mean, I've been saying that's the right way to do it. Is to just make everybody root
for Americans.
Points.
We like scoring.
All they need to do, I think we said this in like season one, a part of my take, they need to make goals worth like 7 points each.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what football does.
Well, make the goals a little bit wider, a little bit taller.
Just make each goal worth more points because then you have like a 2-0 game. It's like, oh, they won 14-0.
Yeah.
That sounds way cooler.
Yes. Yeah, so all you have to do is wake up on Saturday morning. You can do it right now. 12.5. And if all the games, you can bet the under if you want, but you'd be a loser. But then you have action on all the EPL.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Solve soccer in America. All right, before we get to Fantasy Fuckboys, MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. That's why MeUndies partners with athletes like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's all about being authentically yourself. So whether you're on the field or watching the game from the comfort of your couch, life hits different when you're in MeUndies. Go right now, MeUndies. We love them. We're all wearing them right now. I wear MeUndies every single day. I have a ton of pairs of MeUndies. They're so soft. They're so cool. Their undies grow on trees. No, seriously, they're made from irresistibly soft natural fibers sourced from beechwood trees. And you know what natural fibers means? That they're micro-modal is not only super soft, but breathable, light, and impossibly cozy. That's some serious comfort. Everything MeUndies does is to help you feel truly comfortable from head to toe, from outside to in. Step up your comfy game with their new 9-inch boxer brief with fly to prevent rolling and reduce chafing. It's a win-win. MeUndies has a great offer for all of our listeners. For anytime purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. Go right now, MeUndies.com/take, MeUndies.com/take. 15% off your first order and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/take. We love MeUndies. We wear them every single day. Fantasy, Fuckboys, and then Mike Florio.
What's up, boys?
What up?
It's
what
Carmine Chortadello.
Yeah,
what's your name?
Carmine Chortadello.
Okay.
My stardom this week is David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys don't know how old this fucking guy is?
How old?
He's 94 years old.
Jesus Christ.
Still sounds and looks fucking mint. Watch a doc on him. It's crazy. He's that old. Billy's like, hell yeah.
It's a great doc.
Dude loves the earth. My sim is Bronny Jr.
Uh-oh. Smoking the reefer.
FaZe Clan's newest member, Bronny James, was reportedly grounded from a Warzone event by his dad following an incident of smoking weed on Instagram.
Well, LeBron James is a cop. You don't talk to the feds.
Wow, he just got home and laid the hammer down.
The hammer. My sleeper is Henry Ruggs. It's a great name. The name of Kings.
Ruggs?
And he's fast as fuck.
Damn.
If you sleep on him, you're going to get burned.
Fuck.
Ooh, I like that. Sleep I like that. Hank Henry Ruggs translates Henry Ruggs. To Hank's passed out again.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, fuckheads? This is Vinny Ottavino. I'm starting Arch Manning. That's right. This kid, no social media, no recruiting. He's doing it the old school way.
Pussy.
OS.
For life. Just having fun.
Pussy.
He's having fun. Being a kid playing games on ESPN2 like every other year. By the way, LeBron, This is how you deal with a kid, okay? Keep him off social media. Keep him off the junk. You hijack crutch like a real man.
The only junk he should be on is the one when he puts it on someone's face when they're not asking for it, and then we sweep it under the rug. That's what Peyton did.
That's guy stuff. I'm sitting taxes. The government wants to take your hard-earned money. We put in our time. We put in for our extension. Guess what? Taxes are due.
Tax day.
The government wants
Henry Ruggs. Did he do it?
Buy a Fest preview.
The government thinks they can spend your money on highways and schools that you can't get into. You hear that, Virginia Tech? Fuck you, you pieces of shit. Billy, make an app that tells us what the ratio is at colleges. I didn't want to go to Tech anymore. I want to go to Sarah Lawrence College. Yeah. I want to Sausage Fest around here. My sleeper? I'm sleeping Tom Brady. That's right. He's going senile.
Put him to sleep?
He's going senile, but it just means that instead of kissing his relatives on the lips, he's going to get confused and shoot them when they come into the house. R.I.P. Junior Soprano.
Damn. Spoiler. All right. What's up, guys? My name is Silvio Tortellini.
What's up, Torts?
Stardom. Chili. I'm officially announcing it's chili season again. We've gotten there. Everyone get your beef. Everyone get your beans. Beans or no beans?
I like some beans.
Makes you feel like a man. Yeah, make sure you get your MeUndies because chili season's here.
The magical fruit.
Yeah. Sit'em. The entire Jets franchise. That place stinks. Fuck 'em. Le'Veon Bell. You got free. The Jets suck. That's all I got. They're 9.5-point underdogs to the Dolphins.
New York City's a joke.
No,
into Miami.
But holy shit! And then my sleeper is wool socks. Wool socks. I love wool socks.
Too itchy for me.
Wool socks. And guess what? You can't hear you coming.
I get sweaty at night.
You get the sweaty ass feet.
I get the sweat foot.
Yeah.
How you doing? It's Billy, Sal Prosciutto.
Keeps his socks on when he fucks.
My Stardom is Feathered Indians by Tyler Childers.
That song bangs.
Yo, it's a really good song.
It's Feathered Columbus Days.
You listen to it with your buddies when you're late night. My Stardom is Browns defense. They're going to suck against the Steelers, and my sleeper was sweaters. But that's a lot like wool socks. But you know what else is cool?
The socks for your nip-nips.
Your nipple socks.
Doilies.
What are nipple socks?
What?
I don't know.
Oh.
Pasties.
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 They don't let you show nipples in the clubs like they used to.
Cardi B needs them. Is that it?
Big ones. That's it.
That's your sleeper?
She's coasted.
My sleeper. It's daylight savings time. When is it?
Oh, it's this weekend.
Make sure you change your clocks.
Yeah, God damn it. We fucked
Don't
it up.
Sleep in.
Last week we said it was, but it's not. It's this week. Daylight savings time. If you fuck this up, here's a good thing. If you go to a bar, you get an extra hour, right? No, you have to go home.
No,
you get an extra hour.
Fall forward.
Yes, yeah, so you get an extra hour.
You have to go home early.
You have to go home early. That's what I meant.
Falls forward, yeah.
So you get an extra hour of sleep, though?
No.
Yes.
No.
You get an extra hour at the bar.
No, fall back.
Fall forward.
Spring back. Fuck. I always fuck that up. All right, so set your clocks back an hour.
You know what? Just get rid of your clock.
No, forward. Forward an hour.
Wake up with the sun.
Fall forward.
Or buy a
spring
rooster.
Spring back. So, make sure. No, seriously, though. Daylight savings is this weekend. If you fuck that up, people will be very upset. You don't want to be that loser because everyone's like, oh, my God. How did you not know? All right, should we do Florio? Should we do Mike Florio? Should we do the cock? Should we do the cock with Florio? What? What are you going to say, Billy?
Friends of the Program Parlay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. Give it to us.
Friends of the Program Parlay.
Wait, is it the same teams every time? Because our friends don't change.
Yeah. No. Well, whether they play does change.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, anyway. So, we have Cincinnati to cover. We have the Browns money line. We have the Titans to cover, the boys. Then we got the Bills money line, Rams money line. And then there's also the psycho shit parlay.
Okay.
What are the odds?
The odds are +4,222.
Okay, nice. And what's the psycho shit parlay?
The psycho shit parlay is +35,688.
Oh, okay.
And it is all money line, Cowboys, Eagles, Bengals, Bills, Jets. It's basically a lottery ticket, but if it hits.
If you do it responsibly, that's okay. Yes, yes.
I don't mind that.
I might get on board.
I might get on board
the
psycho
Jets?
Shit. But if you brand it as psycho shit,
yeah.
Bet on the Jets, then now I want to bet on the Jets.
Yeah. All right. Like, fuck it.
Psycho shit. Let's do it. All right. Let's get to Mike Florio.
Before we get to Mike Florio, I want to talk to you guys about our good friends at...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And now, Mike Florio.
Okay, it's time. We welcome on our very good friend, longtime recurring guest. It's been a long time since we talked to him. It is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and the Peacock Network. You're on the cock? Are you on the cock?
Really? That's where we're starting?
We're trying to help you plug. Do you want to plug the cock?
Yeah, are you on the cock?
Hey, first of all, I am a long-time recurring guest, and it has been a long time since you guys have had me on, and I was starting to get a complex. I was starting to wonder what I did, like, or is this just like the relative that you just forget about, or you put out to pasture, or, you know, you're embarrassed by him now, and we still think of him fondly, but we don't want anything to do with him anymore. So I was relieved to get the invitation.
Well, I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Well, you want to go there? You want to go there to start? You want to go there to start?
Well, I don't know. I'd rather go there than where you guys were trying to go.
All right, well, let's go there. Mike Florio, are you rooting for the season to get canceled because of coronavirus? Because it sometimes feels like it.
Why would I be rooting for the season to get canceled? You understand the name of my business, right? It's profootballtalk.com. It's not rootforthevirus.com.
Oh, I thought it was coronabrofootballtalk.com.
Yeah, thanks.
KarenFlorio.com.
And I mean, can I just say one thing about this, please? I'm going to anyway, even if you don't give me permission. The fact that I have been, and I think others are in this same boat, vigilant about making sure that the league does everything that it has to do to allow for football to happen does not mean that we're trying to root against football or that we want to be able to say, I told you so. The NFL had a hell of a head start here. It shouldn't be having the problems it's having now. It shouldn't be learning on the fly when it had time to get its ducks in a row. Now, some of the stuff that it's learning, I guess, is news to the scientific community as well. But I was always banging the drum of take it seriously, take it seriously, take it seriously, so we wouldn't get the season derailed, so we wouldn't have to have extra weeks, so we wouldn't lose games, so you wouldn't have a team make the playoffs with a 9-6 record because it only played 15 games. That's what I've been trying to avoid. And I just at times feel like the NFL wasn't as determined to protect the game against the virus as it needed to be.
Well, they
and I'm glad that for the most part it seems to be, but that's why
that's
I was banging the drum. Yeah. I wanted there to be a season.
Yeah, I mean, they only had 5 months to figure out what they were going to do with it. And it was very funny, like over the summer, they waited until the very last weekend to figure out how they're going to. We said it was like us doing a summer project back in high school where you had like one book that you had to read. And the last 3-day weekend, we're like, okay, we got to cram in 250. Let's go to sparknotes.com and figure this thing out.
You're right, Mike. And you're the one thing I do always respect and love about you is that you are trying to just kind of get answers and hold people accountable who, you know, should be held accountable. And that's the NFL not having a plan. Now, do you, though, think there is a vibe sometimes where the doomsday of like a positive test, everyone's like, well, hope you enjoyed football while it lasted. Football's going to keep, like, is there anything that you could see happening now where they just stop playing the season? It feels like we're just going to keep powering through and we'll have delays and we'll have a Titans situation where they miss a week, but it's going to just keep going and going and going, maybe extend it a little, but the season's happening.
Yeah, the season's happening and there will be a complete season. At some point, the commissioner stopped using the term full season and began using complete season. And a complete season is one that ends with the Super Bowl being awarded. Like 1982, before you guys were born, when there was only 9 games due to the strike and PFT's team pulled out the championship that year. 1987, when you guys were in diapers, the season was shortened because of the strike. PFT's team pulled off the championship that year.
So what you're saying is there's a history of the
not
Washington football team winning
only
during
twice.
Completed seasons that weren't full.
Yeah, but here's the concern I have, that there will be, at the end of the day, number one, we're getting very close to the point where you can't just move things around. My understanding is the league has a computer model where if a game needs to be postponed, they hit the button and everything spits out the options for reshuffling the deck and getting all the games played. Once teams have had their bye weeks, you can't reshuffle games. That's when week 18 becomes an issue. And then week 18 quickly becomes week 19. And I think that's as far as they would go before they would start canceling games. But I don't think anybody wants a team that finished 9-6 getting into the playoffs over a team that was 9-7, just because that team that was 9-6 didn't play that one more game that it may have lost. Or a team that goes 12-3 being the one seed when there's a 13-3 team that maybe holds the tiebreaker, but the 13-3 team would get in, the 12-3 team wouldn't get in. I mean, that's not acceptable. Having playoff spots and position determined by winning percentage isn't acceptable. And I hope that that's not what it comes to. I hope that 256 games are played, whatever it takes. But the idea of pressing pause on the season, that's never made any sense to me, because what do you do? How do you keep your guys in shape? Where do they go? They do what the Titans players did, and they go work out at some high school, and then the NFL gets mad about that. I don't think you can press pause on the entire season. You just have to deal with these brush fires as they pop up and hope that they can extinguish them and let that team get back into the flow with everyone else.
What about the idea that Pro Bowl week, that's like another bye week. Could we push back everything yet another week and just say, okay, we're not going to have that gap between the championships and the Super Bowl?
Well, they've already canceled the Pro Bowl, which is the only good thing to come out of the pandemic. But yeah, now they have an extra week to play for. I mean, they've been planning for the possibility of bumping the Super Bowl back to President's Day weekend, something the NFL has wanted to do for years. So you have flexibility. We've now got 3 weeks to play with. You've got 2 weeks you can push the Super Bowl back, and then you've got the accordion where you can smash the Pro Bowl week out of the picture, move the championship games back. So they've got flexibility now. The question is, how much of it will they have to use? And it all comes down to how many more of these games have to be postponed. It can't just be nudged to a Monday or a Tuesday, but have to actually be moved deeper into the calendar. Once teams have had bye weeks, that's when week 18 becomes in play, and eventually week 19 is going to come in play as well.
So we go into football. Dan Quinn got fired. It was very early for a coach to get fired. But it feels like this year, even with coronavirus, I think the NFL is the only league that's going to be like, you know what, we're just going to go through with all of our firings. No one gets sympathy. Is there going to be another one in the next couple weeks here that you can see coming?
Well, I mean, look at the Jets. That's the one everyone's paying attention to. And they've had their schedule adjusted by the delay of the Broncos-Patriots game, where the bye week now is week 10, not week 11. And the next four opponents, Dolphins, and it may not be in the exact order, but Bills, Patriots, Chiefs, those are the four teams the Jets play before their bye week. It feels like unless they don't get embarrassed in at least one of those games, or maybe find a way to win one of those games, it feels like it's moving in the direction where it's not sustainable for the Jets to continue with Adam Gase, even if ownership really wants to, because they understand they're rebuilding. I think the Lions are one to keep an eye on. You never know what's going to happen there. I mean, look, in both Houston and Atlanta, no one saw those coming. And now the Atlanta one, we kind of saw coming. It was my understanding that the game against the Panthers was a big one for Dan Quinn. I don't think people expected the general manager to get fired as well. So, I mean, these owners are not afraid to take decisive action. And I think once some of them start doing it, it could be that others decide that they're going to do the same thing.
One kind of bright spot, if you're a Jets fan, is you get potentially head coach on an interim basis, Greg Williams, to step up. And he's a guy that had, what, like 10 or 11 head coaching offers not but a year and a half ago. So he is in high demand, certainly. Do you think that Greg Williams had anything to do with orchestrating the demise of Adam Gase?
I doubt. Well, look, I like when you go these places, but the stuff Greg Williams did do during his career is probably worse than if it were true that he had anything to do with orchestrating the demise of Adam Gase. I just can't believe that the guy who was at the center of the Bountygate scandal. And at one point, and the thing that I thought would keep him from ever coaching again, at one point he submitted an affidavit that snitched on Jonathan Vilma for actually offering money to whoever took out Brett Favre in that NFC Championship game in 2009. I thought once Greg Williams put his signature on that document, he would never be accepted in a locker room again. And maybe players just don't know that's what he did. Maybe that's how he's gotten back in. He must be a hell of a coach, though, because there's plenty of guys out there who can coach football. For him to keep getting jobs after having that on his resume really is stunning to me. And yeah, he could end up being the interim head coach of the Jets, just like he was interim head coach of the Browns and went 5-3 a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, interim head coach Greg Williams would be a sight to see. Speaking of Bountygate, you're very plugged into the Saints. Sean Payton, you're the number one Taysom Hill fan in the world.
Is there any vibe in New Orleans that Drew Brees is struggling a little bit? Maybe even though some of the numbers are there, you know, it seems like he's working Taysom Hill in more, and that package is getting bigger and bigger as the season goes along.
Well, what surprised me is the playoff game against Minnesota. I thought Taysom Hill was the best player on the field for either team, and that's what really sparked this movement of what are they going to do with this guy? Is he the quarterback that will be taking over after Drew Brees retires? How much will they use him until now and then? And his usage on offense and special teams had plummeted early in the season. And Chris Sims and I were arguing on PFT Live, which is on Peacock Network every day at 7 a.m. Eastern live and then on demand whenever you want it. We've argued they got to pick a lane here because I think there's a problem. Think about it in any job, in any industry, sports or non-sports. If you're in this limbo where you don't get many opportunities, that puts a ton of pressure on you when your number does get called. And our argument was use him all the time in this jack of all trades role, or just make him the backup quarterback and never use him. And I thought it was significant Monday night where there were a couple of key moments where Hill came in and Brees went off the field. Usually they find a spot for Brees somewhere on the offensive alignment when they bring Taysom Hill in to play quarterback. Now, I don't think that there's going to be any type of a hard shift toward Taysom Hill to the point that it undermines Brees. But I just think that if you're going to pay this guy $20 million over 2 years and you see what he can do, I mean, when he had that snap down near the goal line and he gets ahead of steam, you don't want to get in his way. Mm-hmm. He has special talents. They just need to use him more. And I think the more he's in the flow of the game, the more he can do and the less likely he's going to freak out when he's only getting that cameo appearance here or there. They just need to use him more. And I think he is highly talented, and I think he can be very good. And we'll find out next year if they make him the quarterback if Brees does retire. I just think they've been caught in this mode where they're protecting him because he's the backup quarterback, but they know that he's capable of doing some great things, so they're using him just not as much as they did in the past.
This year is it different than it was last year when they had Teddy Bridgewater, who was technically the backup quarterback, but we saw a lot more Taysom Hill when it came, like, you know, in a game that Drew Brees was starting, Taysom would be the guy that switches in, but Teddy, if he had to start a game, he would be the guy. Is it like that with Jameis right now? Like, if Drew Brees, if his arm falls off during a game, is it going to be like, okay, this is Jameis Winston's turn, or is it going to be a steady dose of Taysom Hill?
I've gotten the impression this year that if Brees would get hurt, it would be Taysom Hill playing quarterback. And last year, yeah, it was Teddy Bridgewater. It required minimal change to the offense. You know, when you bring in a guy like Taysom Hill, he has different skills than Drew Brees, so you run different plays. And you got to think about the other 10 guys on the field. They have a playbook they use. They have a game plan they use. They're comfortable with what they're doing. Then all of a sudden, here comes this guy who does things completely differently than Brees does. So I think Bridgewater was the guy last year because it was the easiest way to keep the offense going the way that they were accustomed to. This year, I think as they embrace the reality that Taysom Hill is going to be the guy, I think it would be Hill if Brees would get injured. And, you know, today Thursday. He wasn't on the injury report yesterday. Oh, they're on a bye week, so we don't have to see any injury news on the Saints until next week. He took a weird hit when he got knocked down by Joey Bosa on Monday night, and he was limping for a little bit. And if they were playing this weekend, I'd be curious to see if he had some sort of an ankle thing. And yeah, if he gets injured, my gut feeling is it would be Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston who would play.
It'd be hilarious if Taysom Hill got injured and Jameis Winston ran the Taysom Hill package just fumbled on every play.
Every time.
give us a number, a contract number for Dak Prescott now.
Well, here's the thing we got to keep in mind. The Cowboys have exclusive rights to negotiate with Dak Prescott from the time the season ends. And technically they can negotiate now. They just can't do the deal until the regular season ends. And then when the franchise tag window closes, usually it's late February, that's the moment where they either sign him to a long-term deal, apply the franchise tag, or let him become a free agent. And the market will determine what his value is. And it's important this year for two reasons. One, because of what he made this year, $31.4 million fully guaranteed, he gets it all. Next year, under the franchise tag, he'd be entitled to a 20% increase. That's $37.68 million to use the tag again. The other complicating factor there, the franchise tag won't change for Dak even as the salary cap drops to as low as $175 million because of the pandemic. You're talking about 21.5% of your entire salary cap that you may have to commit to Dak Prescott without knowing that he's healthy or that he will be healthy. That's going to be the challenge for the Cowboys. So unless Dak finally decides to do that aw shucks team-friendly deal that the Cowboys have been trying to get him to do, if he continues to hold firm The Cowboys are going to have to pay him $37.68 million, a long-term contract based on $37.68 million as your starting point, which makes the numbers go up quickly, or let him become a free agent and see what the market will bear. And that's the most fascinating outcome, because I think other teams would roll the dice. I think other teams in the division would roll the dice to try to get him away from the Cowboys. And I think at the end of the day, if they can't work something out, it's going to be franchise tag. He's going to be guaranteed $37.68 million even before they know whether or not his ankle's healed.
What about Dak? If Dak said to Jerry, hey, that last contract he offered me, let's do it. Do the Cowboys do it?
I think they would do it. I think they would. Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely, they would do it. I don't think Dak would do it, because Dak still holds all the cards.
Yeah.
Even with the broken ankle, he holds all the cards. And when you look at the outpouring of support, this was a point Peter King made earlier this week on PFT Live on Peacock every weekday morning, 7 to 9. Actually, it was a separate video we did for Yahoo Sports, so it wasn't on Peacock. It'll be on Peacock on Friday. But he made the point that the outpouring of emotion and support for Dak Prescott actually makes it harder for the Cowboys to not keep him. The question becomes, does Dak want to continue to be all business, not paying attention to team-friendly deals, or, you know, that effort that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones make to get the guy to see it the team's way? And it works with everyone else. It didn't work with Dak. And I don't think Dak's going to change his approach. Dak's locked into his approach, and Dak's confident he's going to be healthy. So his attitude will be, trust that I'm going to be healthy, or use the franchise tag, or let me hit the open market and we'll see what someone else will pay me.
Okay. What about the quarterback position in San Francisco? They're playing on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Is that on the cock too? Sunday night, right in the cock. We're going to have San Francisco and the Los Angeles
Rams. It's on the big cock, the small cock.
Yeah.
Small cock.
It will be available on NBC. It streams on NBCSports.com. It's not available on the excellent Peacock streaming service.
Okay.
Did you have a moment when you guys were like, did you like say to NBC, hey, if we call it the Peacock, like, part of my take guys are just going to say the cock for the rest of the time.
And also P's in there too.
Right.
You assume that I've got a lot more sway than I do.
I'm just asking.
I don't get asked questions like that.
Seems like something that would have been brought up.
But on Sunday night, you got the 49ers. Their quarterback position just got a whole lot more interesting because Jimmy G got benched at halftime last week. We're kind of the mindset that there's not a huge gap between Jimmy G and Beathard or Nick Mullins. In fact, they're kind of all the same quarterback. Jimmy G just like looks a little bit better. Is there a real chance that he is going to be benched for a start? Is he in potential of losing that cemented starting gig?
Well, I mean, think about it. They chose to go with him last week when he clearly was still hampered by the ankle instead of a healthy C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins. So that tells me that Garoppolo, among the choices on the roster, is still the guy. And on Wednesday, he fully participated in practice. On Thursday, he surely will do the same. The question is, when it's time to go out and go full speed, will he be hampered by that ankle? That's a high ankle sprain. It takes 6 weeks to heal, typically. So I think the bigger question here is, after the season, what do? They can escape this contract with minimal salary cap consequences. Will they look elsewhere for another quarterback? They thought about Tom Brady. Brady wanted to play for the 49ers. They were very transparent about it. And I think that was the shot across the bow at Jimmy G, that you better step up or we are going to be looking elsewhere for a quarterback. You know, people say he took him to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. And in the third quarter of the game against the Vikings, he threw what could have been his third interception of the day. All of them went to Eric Kendricks. Kendricks actually caught one of them. That freaked out Shanahan. He started running the ball exclusively, turned Jimmy G into Bob Greasy in the early 70s. All he needed was the glasses like Greasy used to wear during games. In the NFC Championship against the Packers, it was the same thing. Hardly throw the ball, run it all the time. He had a chance to throw a championship touchdown in the Super Bowl after the Chiefs went ahead and he missed Emmanuel Sanders. I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to look for somebody else after the season. And I don't know who it's going to be, but he's always like Kirk Cousins. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Vikings decide, you know what, we've had enough with this guy, and Shanahan embraces Cousins. And Cousins may be better enough than Garoppolo to help get the 49ers where they're trying to go.
It's just a swap. I think they're pretty much the same quarterback in my eyes. Jimmy G, Kirk Cousins. I think, obviously, Kyle likes him from his time in D.C. where he got to work with him a little bit. So there's, like, some familiarity there. But I also think that Mike Zimmer is just not a fan of paying a quarterback a lot of money. I think if it was up to him, he would just like never have a great quarterback on his team and just rely on that running game and defense.
Well, they paid him again. That was the thing. This would have been the last year of his contract, and they gave him a 2-year extension and like $30 million to sign, and there would be cap issues if they move on from it. Here's the thing about Cousins. Cousins is very good at running the play that's called if he has time to run the play that's called. But when it all starts to fall apart, watch him. He crumbles, or he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have athleticism to run away from the pass rush, and it just ends. The best quarterbacks are the ones who can improvise when the play that's called falls apart, like the Patrick Mahomes. And there's a handful of guys, maybe 7 to 10 guys that can do that. Cousins clearly can't. And when you don't have a great offensive line, or if your running game is being stopped on a given day, Cousins isn't going to be able to help you win a game. And I think that's the limitation on the Vikings. And that's why they may want to move on. But I think it would work for the 49ers because Kyle Shanahan wants a guy who will run the play that's called, because he believes that if the quarterback just runs the play that's called the way that it's designed, it's always going to work.
Yeah. All right. So teams that haven't won yet: Falcons, Giants, Jets, Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold. If any of those three teams get the number one pick, is it just a no doubter Trevor Lawrence? Even Daniel Jones was drafted 2 years ago, in the first round. Are all three of those teams saying we're moving on from our current guy and going with Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I think it depends on a lot of things. Who's the coach? Who's the GM? What do they think about the guy? What's your evaluation of Trevor Lawrence? And there's still a lot to be determined about Trevor Lawrence. And there's also the possibility that someone's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You know, the Dolphins tried to trade up to get Joe Burrow, and the Bengals were, oh, we're not accepting or considering any offer. Well, at some point, they're going to make you an offer that you have to take. At some point, they're making you an offer you can't refuse. And at some point, one of these teams, if they get the number one overall pick, may get an offer they can't refuse and decide to keep the quarterback that they have and use all those extra picks on something else and make their team better in multiple different ways. Now, I think Darnold is the most likely to be in danger. I think it's the easiest for the Jets to move on from him from a cap standpoint. But, I think any of those teams, if they get the first overall pick, job number one, make the decision, yes or no, up or down, do we want Trevor Lawrence? And parallel with that is there someone else out there who is just going to blow our socks off with what they want to offer to come up to get Trevor Lawrence? So it's going to be fascinating. And you know, people, it's funny how some people will say there's no tanking in football. Hell yes, there's tanking in football. It's just subtle. The players on the field aren't trying to lose, but someone high up in the organization makes sure the worst players are on the field. We want to evaluate the backup quarterback. We want to evaluate the third string corner. We want to see how these young guys play. And if they play like crap, good. Let's lose these games that don't matter. And a case in point, last year when Washington and the Giants played, great game, week 16. Washington came from behind. They went to overtime. The Giants won. Great. Washington lost, and they got Chase Young. Who cares about the loss from week 16? You got Chase Young for the next 10 years. So one of these teams, I think, or maybe more than one, is going to decide they're going to go try to get Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to tank, and it may get obvious and blatant by the time the season's over.
Yeah, I could see Gettleman not drafting Trevor Lawrence just based on his hair. Like, this guy, no, he's you got to trim that up, man. That's not a football guy's hair. You're laughing, but you know that there's like a little bit of truth in that. That Gettleman.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking yesterday when you guys invited me back on, I was thinking of the time that you visited and hung out down here in the barn, and my father-in-law was down here. He still asks whether or not you've gotten a haircut. So, yeah, that mindset's out there.
Yeah. Is there any chance that Gettleman does not hang on to his job after the season?
Yeah, you know, here's what all teams need to do when they're deciding what to do with a coach or a GM. You either keep both or you fire both.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a new coach. If you're going to keep your coach who you just hired and fire your GM, the problem is the new GM has been carrying around for the last 15 years or more a short list of coaches he would hire. And unless you get lucky and the name of the current coach is one of those guys, then the new GM is going to want to get rid of the coach, mm-hmm. whether it's what Bob Quinn did with Jim Caldwell. I mean, we've seen it before where there's a new GM who inherits a coach, and it's a couple of lost seasons while the GM builds enough evidence to go to ownership and say, can I please hire my coach now? So I think the Giants should only get rid of Gettleman if they're also going to get rid of Joe Judge. They're not going to get rid of Joe Judge, so they should keep Dave Gettleman until they're ready to get rid of both of them, whenever that may be.
What about Bill Parcells? I guarantee you Bill Parcells had Joe Judge on his list of coaches he would hire.
Why?
Just because he seems like a Bill Parcells guy. Mm-hmm. You know he does.
It's. I mean, you just described the Jets situation, too. Joe Douglas had to inherit Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell, got rid of Le'Veon Bell, and now... and Adam Gase had to inherit Le'Veon Bell, which is all a disaster.
Right. Well, no, here's what happened. Mike Maccagnan was the GM when Gase became the coach. Maccagnan signed Bell
right.
over Gase's objection because Maccagnan got grifted. Someone, presumably Bell's agent, made Maccagnan think the Ravens were in play for roughly the same money that the Jets gave Bell, and they never were. After that $13.5 million per year, $27 million over the first 2 years, fully guaranteed. The next team was like the 49ers at $7.5 or $8 million. The Jets got conned. Gase knew they were getting conned. He didn't want Bell at that number. And then Maccagnan gets fired. And this is what's interesting about the Jets, because Joe Douglas was the guy handpicked by Gase to be the GM.
Right.
So now do they fire Gase and keep Douglas? And then hovering over all of this is the possibility Woody's coming back in March or so, if his candidate loses on November 3rd and he's no longer the U.S. ambassador to the U.K., Woody may come back and tell everybody to get the hell out. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, what a disaster. All right, Mike, I want to do a little buy or sell for we'll do some players and then we'll do some teams. Buy or sell. So anything you want to say about each guy, quick word. Kyler Murray, they're 3-2? Yeah, buy. You're buying Kyler Murray. You believe in everything with him.
Yeah, he's got the special skills that I was talking about earlier to make something happen if the play that's called doesn't work. His running ability is off the charts. I'd like to see the Arizona offense be a little more diverse, a little less predictable, maybe line up under center once in a while, although he literally would be under center. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. But I don't like the running plays out of shotgun all the time. I like the running back to get ahead of steam. So I buy Kyler Murray. I just think they need to work on their offense.
What about my mortal enemy, DK Metcalf?
Oh, DK Metcalf, bye. I mean, this guy's Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice combined, and he's starting to become aware of
Mike, come on. Calvin Johnson, you just listed the two best wide receivers of all time.
He's becoming a hybrid.
He is. I say he's like T.O., yeah.
But it's fascinating to watch someone who is becoming fully aware of what he can do. And you could sense that when he caught the game-winning touchdown pass on Sunday night. He's like, throw me the damn ball. I'm going to catch it. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to go win this game single-handedly. So he's developing more and more confidence. And, yeah, he's only going to get better and better.
All right. How about my guy, Jonathan Taylor on the Colts, Wisconsin Badger?
Yeah, you know, he really got overused at Wisconsin, and I wonder how that's going to affect his NFL career. He started off great, kind of like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Started off great. And so we get this narrative that, hey, these guys are great. These guys are awesome. But then you look at the numbers, and it's like, well, it's okay. It's not awesome. It's not horrible. But it's just kind of steady, and I think he's got potential to be really, really good. He's got a great personality. We interviewed him at the Combine. I thought he was just a fantastic kind of guy, great for the Colts. I don't know about Phillip Rivers as the quarterback. I think that may be the bigger problem there. But I think Taylor's got the potential. I just worry about how much – because you only got so much tread on the tires, and he used up a lot of it at Wisconsin.
Odell Beckham, he went home today. I don't know if it was pink eye or toxic shock or whatever it was.
I saw your tweet.
He is – yeah. So he went home, but – he's been playing well the last couple of weeks. You buying or selling?
Well, I'm buying as long as he's buying. As long as he understands his role and as long as he doesn't get frustrated or demonstrative about not getting the ball. Kevin Stefanski told me after they beat the Cowboys that he challenges himself to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. earlier in games. Now, I think this past weekend against the Colts, he ended up being a decoy, and it worked. This weekend against the Steelers, will he be a decoy? Will he get him the ball early? They've been getting him involved in the running game with Nick Chubb out. He had that great run against the Cowboys. It helped that nobody on the Cowboys wanted to, you know, chase him and tackle him. But I think that as long as it doesn't become a thing regarding how often he does or doesn't get the ball, because that kind of took over the team last year, they've gotten away from that. I say bye as long as he's comfortable with his role and doesn't get frustrated by the fact that he's not getting the ball as much as he'd like to have it.
So I was wrong with this guy. I'm wondering what you think. We all kind of thought he was washed up. Jimmy Graham, Chicago Bears. How are you buying or selling Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying in the role that he's made for, which is red zone. And, you know, third down, you need a third and five conversion. He's a guy that can go get the ball. He's not going to run down the field like he used to. He's not going to have gigantic numbers. But, yeah, it always pissed me off when he was traded to Seattle. And we started hearing complaints from people with the Seahawks that he's not blocking. Well, that's not what he does. He never was a blocker. Why are you trying to make him into a blocker? Why are you trying to make him into a complete tight end? Accept what he is. He's a basketball player on a football field. Put him out there in the red zone. Throw the ball high. Either he's going to catch it or no one's going to catch it. And use him in those moments where you need to benefit from a big body, a guy with good hands who can go get the football. So, yeah, I'm buying Jimmy Graham. And it's great to see him kind of have this recovery after being on a couple of teams that didn't know how to quite use him.
That's what the Seahawks do, though. They take everybody who can't block and then put them in a position to, like, turn them into
yes. –
like, with their offensive line. That's basically what Tom Cable did for, like, 6 years. What about – here's kind of a dark horse. I think nobody – nobody in our league owns him, but I think he's like owned in maybe 15% of fantasy football leagues. James Robinson, the running back for the Jaguars.
James Robinson is awesome. Illinois State, undrafted, showed up for training camp only. No offseason program. Fourth guy on the depth chart when he walked through the door. And he immediately wowed Jay Gruden, the new offensive coordinator. They believed in him. They've been validated every week. Now, I think his numbers weren't awesome this past weekend. But, yeah, this guy, it's like nobody knows who he is because the Jaguars aren't any good. And it's a shame what's happening with the Jaguars. They beat the Colts week one. And then did you guys talk about the fact that they made history by being the first team ever to lose four straight games to previously winless teams? But
no.
They're the first team to ever do that, to lose 4 weeks in a row to previously winless teams. Now this week they get the Lions, who aren't winless, but I just feel like it's circling the drain in Jacksonville, and that's a shame because I think the reset button is going to get pressed there. And I know how you guys feel about Doug Marrone, but if they don't turn it around quickly, you got to worry about Shad Khan, you know, twirling the end of that mustache one day and saying, "Hey Doug, hey Dave Caldwell, hit the road."
Not yeah. Doug's fault though. We want to be on the record.
Not Doug's fault. All right, last one: buy or sell. In the wide receiver running back flex position, Justin Jefferson.
Don't give me this wide receiver running back flex position. I know where you're going.
Why?
I know. Listen, come on.
What are you talking about?
We actually have him.
What?
Even though you haven't had me on the show for a while,
right?
I still remember what you typically try to do. I'm not commenting on anyone.
Wait, we try to get you to talk position. About your fantasy team?
Yeah, we
just went down your entire roster.
You didn't go down my entire.
Yeah,
roster.
We did. That's why
Murray, Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson, Odell Beckham, DK Metcalf, Jimmy Graham, Justin Jefferson, Bucker, Rams. On your bench, you have Herbert, McCaffrey, McKinnon, and McLaurin.
Wait a minute. How do you have that information?
We got sources, Mike.
5-0, Mike. You're buying your whole team. I can't believe
that
it.
That was funny. Like every player that we said, Mike was a hard buy on, and it's because. It's because he's personally invested in him.
You know what?
You didn't think I was going to get smarter, Mike. I had to get smarter.
I didn't mention that I have Robinson on my fantasy
Nobody
team.
Nobody cares about your fantasy
team,
Mike.
No one cares about your team, Mike.
The minefield. Now I need to know who. Now
call's
I'm
coming.
The
call
list.
Is coming from within the barn, Mike.
Yeah, my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Did you get my kid working against me?
Of course we did. Come on.
Oh, wow.
That's
well
beautiful. You got it.
How
else was I going to get you? How else were we going to get you?
He's got a hell of a poker face, too, because I talked to him right before I came down here, and he let on nothing.
We just got you to talk about every single player on your fantasy team without you realizing it.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You wasted 20 minutes of your podcast to do it.
No, so that was the best 20 minutes spent. That was the best 20 minutes spent. You're 5-0, though. Why didn't you say that?
Because nobody cares. I'm actually 9-1 if you factor in the
early. Oh, no one cares. Okay. No one cares. He said the quote was, he's 5-0 and he's very proud of his team this year.
Yeah, because, look, I'm in a no-win proposition with any fantasy league I do because I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. So if I lose, everybody thinks it's the greatest day of their life. And if I win, I'm like, what the hell? The guy's supposed to win. So, yeah, I don't know why I even do it.
I do like how you gave every one of those players like an A-plus grade.
Well, what am I going to say? I ain't so.
DK Metcalf. Jimmy Graham, he's coming in his prime.
A combination of Jerry Rice and Calvin
realized.
Johnson.
when you went Jimmy Graham, I should have realized what was going on.
Oh, God.
It's like, who cares? I mean, yeah, Jimmy Graham's had some decent games, but, I mean, it's
who
not
cares,
like he's tearing up the league. He's not Robert Tonyan or anything.
James Robinson is the next Walter Payton in your mind. That's what you gave him a draft.
A combination of Walter Payton and Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Important to specify.
All right,
what about Le'Veon Bell? Serious question.
Not on your team.
Not on your team. Serious question.
No. I tried. He's already claimed.
There was a report that it was like the Chiefs and then four mystery teams out there.
Well, Chiefs, Bills, and Dolphins were the report from ESPN.com. And, you know, people who do this for a living get upset when we speculate on sources, but Jeremy Fowler, who reported it, covered the Steelers for years, and he's talked to Bell in the past. He's reported on things Bell said to him. I think Bell told him those are the three teams. The question I have, are the Patriots lurking here? Because the thing about the Patriots, they will tell you and your agent, if they're interested, if it gets out that they're interested, they're done. That's it. We're out. That's why when it came out, remember that Leonard Fournette had interest from the Patriots right before he signed with the Buccaneers? I never believed that, because you never hear that a team is interested in the Patriots. They either sign him or they don't. And if you ever do hear they're interested, it's either a lie or somebody just blew up their own opportunity by running their mouth. So it's possible that Bell also is walking around with the possibility of joining the Patriots. We have a story at PFT, the real PFT, not you.
Whoa.
Where we've got
PFF the commenter.
Okay, that's good. Where they have quotes. We got quotes from Bill Belichick gushing about Le'Veon Bell in the past. It would not shock me if the Patriots get in on this, especially if they're faced with the possibility of Bell signing with the Dolphins or the Bills. So I'd say Chief, Bills, Dolphins, don't rule out the Patriots. And I have a feeling he's going to sign somewhere sooner rather than later.
All right, my last question, Mike, is we're a quarter of the way through the season, a little more than a quarter of the way through the season. Give us your championship game and Super Bowl. We'll give you a second chance.
Yeah, look, I don't like to change my first guess until the teams have either become mathematically eliminated when it comes to making the playoffs or have lost in the playoffs. I picked Buccaneers-Patriots because I just think it would be an awesome story if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick went against each other in Tampa for Super Bowl 55. They're both still alive, even though one's 2-2 and the other's 3-2. I'm not giving up on it yet, so I'm sticking with that until one or both of them can't make it.
Give us a backup, though. Give us a backup.
Chiefs-Seahawks. I think that's the obvious one, isn't it? Although the problem with the Chiefs is...
Perfect. You just gave us your AFC-NFC championship games and Super Bowl.
Well, but man, here's the thing. The Chiefs are susceptible to crap in the bed if they're not fully focused on the team they're playing. Yep. I mean, look, they almost lost to the Chargers. The Patriots without Cam Newton, it was sluggish. They lose to the Raiders. But then here come the Ravens, and what do? They go in there and they pulverize them. I think they're going to destroy the Bills on Monday night. They are vulnerable when they're playing the teams that they're supposed to beat, and they need to figure out how to fix that and not lose to those teams, because there's only one bye week available this year in either conference. You want to get that one seed, and if they screw around, they're going to blow it.
One last question for me on the coaching carousel. Give us some names, maybe a couple dark horse head coaches that might get picked up this offseason, whether it's the Texans or the Falcons or any other team that might be looking. Who's a name that we haven't really talked about that much that is going to be like involved in the conversation later on?
Are you trying to get me to say Jeff Fisher?
No, Greg Schiano was the one I was hoping for, but Jeff Fisher will work.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so premature at this point. They don't even know who they're going to be talking to. I mean, Eric Bieniemy's name is at the top of the list, and in bright lights blaring when you look at what he continues to do with that Chiefs offense. I think the Texans definitely should take a look at him, because he could do with Deshaun Watson what they've done in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. With the Falcons, I just don't know what they're going to do. And Arthur Blank made it clear that there's no commitment to Matt Ryan. There's no commitment really to anyone on the roster. They're going to try to hold the roster together until they have the new GM and the new head coach. And whoever it is going to decide what's going to happen with those guys. But there could be major changes. I almost feel like they're not going to get over 28-3 in Atlanta until everyone who was connected to it in any way is gone. And it may be that they need to move on from Ryan and Julio Jones and a few others who are still on the roster to finally exercise that demon from a few years ago.
Or they bring in Josh McDaniels and have a constant reminder that on their own sideline.
Hey, and let me say this. I think that it's smart for these teams, and I know this is something that Coach Dungy would disagree with, because he thinks defensive coaches should get equal consideration as offensive coaches. But, what happens is you hire a defensive coach, he hires an offensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator ends up doing really well, and then he leaves, and you've got to replace him. And then you set back your program. So just hire the offensive coordinator. Now, the Browns did that with Freddie Kitchens, and it didn't work out. But why not hire the offensive guy? Because the offense is what's making the game go. Look at all the points being scored now. You need an offensive mastermind. So I hope both of these teams – think very seriously about going on the offensive side of the ball, because if your team turns out being great, like the Falcons did, they lost Kyle Shanahan to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mike, this has been great. Thank you so much. We missed you. We're happy that you went through your team with us. Next time you come on, we'll go through your other team. It'll be great.
Is the fact that you haven't invited me back in a year simply because you couldn't think of a better way to fool me?
No, this took me like, I thought of this in like 20 minutes. So no, that's not.
So it's other reasons.
Yeah, it's the coronavirus thing. Yeah.
I'm glad. Really? It really is.
No, stop.
I
don't know.
Well, we used to have you on Sundays.
What did I do? Is there an odor I'm unaware of?
We used to have you on Sundays, and now Deion Sanders is on every Sunday night recapping because he works with us. So that was your sweet spot.
We have less guests now. We don't do a traditional guest on Monday show.
So next season, when Deion's coaching Jackson State, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, when he's coaching Jackson State, that's when I'll hear from you again.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, when prime time becomes too big time for us, then we go to Mike.
You know, Walter Payton went to Jackson State.
Yes.
Since we mentioned Walter Payton earlier, because
James Robinson is what I call him.
Mm-hmm. He's the next Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That interview with Mike Florio was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you might be up against some obstacles. Maybe there are lots of applicants, but it's difficult to find the right ones for your job. Or maybe finding time to hire while running your business can be a little bit too much for you to juggle. Plus, you also have to try to ensure workplace safety. It's a lot on your plate, and that's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier, and now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. In another life, when I worked in a position where I was hiring people, I used ZipRecruiter. I tried to do it without ZipRecruiter at first. It took a lot of time, took a lot of effort, but when I used ZipRecruiter, I didn't even tell my boss that I used it. I looked like a genius because I had all these qualified applicants come in to interview. And they're like, damn, PFT, you really know what you're doing. Nope, I didn't. I didn't know anything about what I was doing, but the people at ZipRecruiter helped me out. They make it very simple. Their powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job, and it invites them to apply. It gets sent out to over 100 top job sites when you post a job on ZipRecruiter. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, let's wrap it up. We got Firefest of the Week. Let's do it. Oh, by the way, let's just say this. Wednesday, we have one of our best interviews of all time.
I'm very excited.
One of our best interviews of all time.
I'm pumped up thinking about it. We did this interview a couple days ago.
Yep, and it was also one of those things where we went in, we thought we had 30 minutes, 15 minutes in. We got the text message saying, you guys are good to go for an hour because it's going so well. Holy shit, this guy is awesome.
The best storyteller that we've had.
Bill Walton.
Bill
Walton.
Well,
we got to get Bill Walton back.
I'll put it this way. Probably equal amounts of peyote ingested.
Yes. Good point. But get excited. The best interview we've done probably this year. I'll say it. All right. Hank.
It's October 15th.
When?
16th.
Today, right now, what? Currently. And I knew this in the back of my head. I think like 3 weeks ago, I had that heart stopper. Like, fuck, did I miss tax extension? And I looked it up. It was like, oh, no, you're good till October 15th. I was like, oh, I have plenty of time. Then I saw a tweet from one of our coworkers being like, I filled out my taxes. I was like, oh, no, let me double check what day it was. Check this morning. It was October 15th. As of right now, I still haven't done them. I'm no joke. I think I'm going to be submitting these taxes at like 11:59.
So,
but coronavirus, dude.
Yeah. And then PFT. Well, PFT, I came in and was like, dude, I'm stressing out. Like, I have so much shit to do today. And then, like, I have to do this later tonight. And he dangled a little, like, leaf at me that I ate right up. And now I don't know what to believe.
Like a little rabbit. Yeah. So,
what'd you say?
We got a 3-month extension back in April when the coronavirus hit. So that extended the initial time period to July 15th? Mm-hmm. So then do we get another extension?
No, but I like where you're going, and I'll say yes for Hank's sake. Hank. Everything PFT just said is correct.
I got
to
do taxes.
You don't have to do your taxes until January 15th, which is also spring back. Everyone set their clocks.
Wait, so Hank, you actually have an extra hour to do your taxes tonight?
No, I think that's Sunday.
Because it's daylight savings time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But it's a leap year.
True. Yeah, I don't know. I'm fucked.
Yeah, it was.
It was. It was so you're good. So you have a full day. You have till tomorrow. You have till tomorrow. That's a fact.
My Firefest was just going to be Cardi B and her nipples, and she says that she's back with Offset because she's crazy dick.
That's
so. I need to move on from Cardi B. I'd like to hear suggestions either from you guys or from the award-winning listeners. I need a new Cardi B in my life because you know what, she doesn't deserve me.
Yeah. All right. I got two Firefest. One is somehow, some way, I had a cricket stuck in my apartment under a floorboard, and I thought it would just die. It didn't die for like 4 days. So a cricket just going off. Couldn't kill it because it was under the floorboard.
Did you try stepping on the floorboard that it was under?
It was like it went under the crack behind it, and it just cricketed it.
Uh-huh.
For
it just
like
chirped.
Chirped for
Were you telling a lot of jokes?
Days. Oh, damn. That would have been good. I should have done that. That's good. Played into that. Fuck. And then my other one is
Wait. So the... It's dead, though, the crickets.
I believe so,
So when crickets are chirping, they're doing that because they're trying to find a mate, right? So you just had a horny cricket.
Sitting in the corner of my apartment.
Just simping in your apartment. Yes. Just being like, somebody please come have insect sex with me.
And then my other one is I have a stalker, but whatever.
A what?
You guys, a stalker?
Oh, a stalker.
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 Stalker. Who is it? You guys know it. I mean, there's a person who's been threatening me via text message every now and then.
Yep.
I'll leave it at that. Someday we'll hopefully tell the story. Someday we'll hopefully have the person on.
Related to someone that has figured...
Claims to be.
That claims to be related
claims
to somebody
to be
as a frequent target.
Someone. Yeah, so that's going on. But whatever. I got Billy. Billy's
we
my
We should
set security.
A trap.
Yeah, well, we probably blew it by talking about
switch.
It. But yeah, well, someday hopefully we'll figure it. We'll get to the bottom
I have so
it.
Many jokes to make right now about
but
what the trap could be.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. My life is on the line. Billy, finish it off.
But I
wanted noted that I'm not worried about the stalker, clearly, because cricket was number one.
Yeah.
I blew a pitch. I don't know if I blew it.
Oh, no, you definitely blew it. You talking about the Cuban thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, 100% blew it.
You know what, though? In a way, you didn't blow it because more people talked about it. Streisand effect, because it was so bad.
Awesome.
Right. Now, it was so bad that people will always remember how bad it is.
Yeah. No, I got a lot of positive feedback.
It's like
on,
your
like,
mom
it's a
doesn't
idea.
Count.
It's like nope. William Hung, when he went on American Idol, he ended up selling millions of albums doing like She Bangs, She Bangs.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to, something's going to work out in that vein, and I'm going to be like a.
Is
I'm,
it?
Yeah.
You think
this
so?
This isn't my peak.
Well, I don't it's think covered. It's your peak, but I don't think anything's going to work out in that vein. I think you're going to peak in other veins.
No, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Pause.
Well, you are. You have not peaked.
This is not my peak.
You've peaked in the app world.
No, I think there's some legs on it.
I still can't get over how bad of a name it was.
Gala?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gala. You're
really,
really dressing it up to
it like made you're opening it seem, a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A,
yeah. It's like
oh,
like
a, what is the app about, Hank?
Not opening a restaurant.
A restaurant is a place you go to like, eat
yeah,
food.
Drunk,
literally not opening a
drunk
restaurant.
Drunk guys trying to find good ratio.
No,
yeah.
It's not about just the ratio.
It made it sound like a Upper West Side like app for how you can get connected with charities and
yeah.
different galas.
You know what, anyway. Billy? Your issue was you sold the steak. You got to sell the sizzle, not the steak.
Yeah,
which you probably like, suck at too because you don't put seasoning on it.
Yeah, you yeah. literally well, should have just been like, "Hey, Cubes, you like to get your dick wet?"
Yeah, exactly. That's a better pitch.
Right.
I
outpitched you.
Hank, should we talk about what might be going on tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, that's another kind of Firefest, Future Us.
Yeah.
Me and PFT are playing video games with like big time video game streamers.
Ooh. What are you guys playing?
It's called Among Us. It's like a murder mystery game, but these people play this game all the time, like hours and hours every day. Me and PFT have never played before, and these people get lots of viewers and views, and we're going to be on with them, and I'm just worried we're going to sound like noobs being like, wait, how do you play?
But you will.
Yeah, we're
don't
probably,
even be worried.
We're
just
do
shed
some,
that. Shed the worry.
We're going to do some simulated games tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to try it out. 12 o'clock, Part of My Take Twitch.
Love it.
Barstool Sports Twitch. It should be interesting.
It's like playing Clue.
Yeah.
Right? But online?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's big. The game had 4 billion YouTube views in September.
Shout it's out like, to Part of My Take Twitch. Heard through the grapevine that someone might be going around saying that they're the ones that built it up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Certain hunter of MILFs.
Oh my God.
All right, let's pick a number and then we'll head out for the weekend.
On that note, 69.
No way.
8.
28.
My mind is blown right
21.
Now.
21.
8. No. Give me an 8.
Fucking tap.
21. Just psycho shit. That's your psycho shit parlay, going around saying that. All right, 10. 10. Whoever had 10 won. All right, we'll see everyone on Monday. Enjoy week 6.
Love you guys.
Sorry.